Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to hour number two of Mino and the Mayor right here at 97.9 FM, 1590 AM WGBW, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, coming your way out of Oshkosh. 62 degrees now in Green Bay at 7:06 in the morning. It's going to be another absolutely gorgeous day. Is there anything greater than a beautiful day in October?
October 2nd, and we're going to hit 80 today.
Wouldn't you take that over any nice day of any month?
Yes.
There's just nothing better than this.
And crisp, just clean. It's just the air seems like super, I don't know.
If I ever retire, I'm going to be, you know what I'm going to be doing on a day like today? I'd be in the UP. I'd be walking on a logging road with a 410 shotgun, partridge hunting. That's what I'd be doing.
That day is closer than you think.
I think so, too.
Once we get our credit card going.
All right, good. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, anyway, I was talking earlier about our a big convention that's coming to the area. And it's a convention of LERPs. And you guys both looked at me like, what's a LERP? Almost like, what's a Ute? You know, Utes.
But now we know.
But LERP stands for Long Range Reconnaissance Patrol. And one of the gentlemen helping them is a great friend of mine, Mike Weaver. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, John.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Mike himself here was a... What was your title in Vietnam, Mike?
John, I was an Army medic in Vietnam, 1968-69.
And one of the interesting things about Mike is he not only took care of American soldiers, but he took care of Viet Cong and North Vietnamese prisoners. Right, Mike?
Correct.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty unusual for somebody that got a chance to interact with them.
And... But you take that oath that...
Yeah, Hippocratic oath, basically.
Right, and they're going to help anyone that needs help. But God bless you for that. That must have been an interesting clientele.
It was... I don't know how to describe
right.
It. It was a revelation. It was very different because our evac hospital had about a 400-bed capacity for Allied troops. And right next door was a 50-bed capacity hospital that held enemy soldiers that were sick and injured and wounded, and they were treated and kept well for interrogation so they could get more information from them about troop movements and ammunition dump locations and all that kind of thing. So the CIA and the MI would come and interview them all the time.
Well, Mike, we're talking a little bit about a reunion coming up. It's the 9th Infantry Rangers reunion taking place this coming weekend. Approximately 35 soldiers and their wives will attend from all over the United States. They're Vietnam vets, served in small LERP teams to ambush the enemy, gather intelligence. They're considered special forces. Their main area of operations was the Mekong Delta region in the southern part of the country. It was basically a huge swamp. The United States Navy, brown water gunboats, and transports would ferry them into the remote backwater areas of the region. Viet Cong units were everywhere in those locations. And they're going to be gathering a week from today, and you're going to be talking with them in Appleton. Could you tell people a little bit more of what a LERP was, Mike?
LERPs, John, were special forces, as you indicated, that were trained for behind enemy lines insertions. And they would do... As you said, they would serve in small teams. They would be dispersed by any number of ways, by helicopter, by boat, that type of thing. They would generally penetrate deep in behind enemy lines and just go through the jungle very quietly to ambush, collect information, watch troop movements, all that kind of thing, blow up anything that they found that was from the enemy, such as ammunition dumps or any kinds of other vehicles or any other kinds of equipment.
Wow.
They were totally on their own, and many times, an entire patrol may not come back or some members of a patrol may not come back because of the deadly situation. situation than it was. They could get cut off very, very easily, obviously.
And you as a medic, you would take care of these people when something bad did happen. But this LERP, did people sign up for that? Or do you get, like, was that like, you know, the Navy SEALs? Like, there's some, I haven't
real
seen
prestige
a,
to it.
But I haven't seen a movie on LERPs.
No, it's almost like a shadowy type of thing. Right. You don't hear much about them.
But do you sign up and qualify, or do you get, like, drafted into the LERP group?
Well, that's a good question. I think during the Vietnam War, there were both of those things happened. I think some of them volunteered for it, and others would get drafted and would get placed into these units. Basically, you know, there. If you think of the snipers today that interacted in Iraq and Afghanistan, they had tremendous amount of training and. Not only for shooting at long distances, but also at being stealthy and hiding and not being able to be detected. And that is takes a tremendous amount of training and practice to be able to be good at that. Wow. But yeah, they were subject to being placed, possibly drafted into those units. But most of the time they would volunteer and then have to go through arduous training and physical and mental challenges to complete those missions.
Wow, God bless them. So the people who are coming to Appleton this weekend, these were actual LERP people, or are they relatives of the LERP people?
Well, both. Yeah, you're asking interesting questions. You're asking dual questions, and the answer to both is yes.
Yeah.
First of all, this is occurring in Green Bay, not Appleton.
Oh, I'm sorry, but your presentation's in Appleton, right?
Negative. No.
Oh, it's in Green Bay.
The presentation is in Green Bay also.
Ah, okay. My bad.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. At the Great Midwestern Hotel right next to the Rush Center, John, okay. Is where they're going to be, I can use the term bivouacked. That's where they're going to be
beautiful.
Positioned for 3 days. I think they come in on Friday this week, and then they're there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And
I misread, Mike. I misread what you texted. I'll be in charge of the Appleton group on Monday, October 9th.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a display of as you know, of Vietnam era equipment. That's if you measured it in length, it's about 85 to 90 feet.
It's incredible
long. It is. Yeah. Ammunition, weapons, clothing, equipment. Just anything and everything that was used in Vietnam. All the ammunition and weapons and that kind of stuff is all deactivated. None of it works, but it's a lot of it's the real deal. So it's just amazing. And they will be seeing this equipment, and we will have 9 of our Vietnam vets from our chapter in Appleton interacting with them as they go through and look at this display of all the equipment. And then they will be there with their spouses and wives. As well. I think on Saturday they have a parade, I believe, that's going to be on.
Yeah, Armed Forces Drive.
Correct me, John. Yeah. Armed Forces Drive right there in front of the rest center. It's only a block long, but it's symbolic for them. We just weren't welcomed home. So this will be another way for them to be recognized and appreciated. And then they're going to tailgate over at the Lambeau Field and get a tour of the stadium. On another day, that might be on Sunday. And then on Monday, they have a memorial service for their fallen. And then we will have our equipment display at the hotel for them to look at. And then we'll interact with us. 9 of us, but 3 of us of that team are brown water sailors, which means they were part of that group that took these LERP troops back into the Mekong Delta areas and drop them off in the middle of nowhere, and then they would be on patrol for whatever was required, a week, 2 weeks, whatever, and they're out in the field on their own, totally unsupported, doing what they need to do.
We're talking with Mike Weaver, who's huge with the Vietnam vets throughout the area. One thing, Jim, you'd ask if somebody, did you volunteer or you draft into this, and one of the LERPs who I interviewed in my book, my most recent book, 50 Strong, I kind of asked him that same question, and he said, "Here's the deal." He said, "It was a pass or fail. If you were on a mission and you're a little bit of a meathead or a screw up or something, you were kicked out so fast it's mind blowing. I didn't care what the brass said, whatever said, you are not putting my life in danger. When we were out there and what they no disrespect, what they used to call Indian country, where you're on your own. If you're the slightest bit of a screw up, oh, you didn't go out anymore, right, Mike?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, they have to be so self-sustaining and so cohesive that if there's somebody in that unit that is not, they have to remove them right away because they endangered the entire mission as well as all the members of that team.
So with this event, that's great that, you know, you're doing this on Armed Force Drive and there's a great memorial there. And, you know, it's very fitting, right? You can be out on the street in Lambeau Field. Any of this open to the public or is this kind of your group to support each other and closure is not the right word, but to really honor the efforts that you put into this?
Well, I will say this. They're considering the parade their welcome home. So closure might be a good word.
Right. Right. And John, as I mentioned to you earlier, if you can give me your email, because I need to send you details about that parade.
Great.
People can come and support them with that. That is correct. But the rest of the interaction is kind of a closed door kind of a thing.
That's fine. We just want to get the word out that, you know, we're just.
Right. Understood.
I just think people are grateful. I don't know. I wasn't back there when you came home. But,
right.
You know, we just were so blessed to have you guys and the stuff you've done and the stories. I've read John's books. It's unbelievable what you guys have gone through. And but being a medic, 400, that's a lot. I mean, that's bigger than any hospital in Green Bay. That's a huge, I mean, what you did, right?
Well, yeah, it's huge. I'm trying to remember. I think we had five Army evac hospitals in that country. They were never empty.
No. Nope.
They all had about the same capacity. And then when they got evac'd out of country and brought back to the United States for further surgeries or treatment or convalescing, I was stationed at an Army hospital at the base of the Golden Gate Bridge called the Presidio Letterman General Hospital. That hospital was a 1,000-bed hospital. And there were three or four more of those, Walter Reed, Fitzsimmons, and so on. Those also were never empty during that war. The year I was in Vietnam in 1968, we lost 16,000 young Americans in combat.
It's incredible. Unbelievable. Well, Mike Weaver, thanks for everything. You're a great friend, and what you guys continue to do is just amazing for local veterans and keeping the spirit of the Vietnam vets alive.
Right. And
it's our honor, and we really look forward to supporting them. Be sure and give me your email, John, today so I can get you that info on the parade.
I'm going to text it to you right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Mike Weaver from the Vietnam Vets Association. Bye. We talk a lot more about this LERP reunion coming to Green Bay. Amazing gentlemen. Mine on the Mayor, back right after this. Send a letter on a long summer day. Back, Mine with the Mayor here, 7:21 in the morning on a gorgeous day in Northeast Wisconsin. Maybe one of the last two gorgeous days we're going to have until April, May. Never know. I know. But anyway, for the people that I'm just getting some texts right now, people want to help out with the reunion. I'll get more information on that for you. Still want to have one of the organizers on, but just want to kind of get the word out there, the LERP thing. And I'll tell you something kind of ironic. When he talks about the Brown Water Navy, those are the guys who were on. There's two types. One was called a PBR, okay, Patrol Boat River. That's the way they do things, and it's Patrol Boat River, not Patrol Riverboat. But so Patrol Boat River, it's the way the Navy designates them, and then also the Swift Boats. Yeah. And, you know, there's a big thing with John Kerry, but, he was on one of those types of things. But anyway, I'm reading this great. This is kind of ironic. I'm reading a really great book right now. I'm trying to think the last name of these people. It begins with a Z, but the dad was one of the top advisors in Vietnam, in the Navy, in charge of all the Swift Boats. And it was a really dangerous job because you'd be going down these little canals and it would be jungle, literally 20 feet away, thick jungle. You can't see a thing. And the Viet Cong would be there and would ambush these boats. And you're just a sitting duck. And they were made out of like 1/8-inch aluminum or fiberglass. So there was no protection. There was no armor. Right. It was one of the most dangerous jobs in Vietnam. So his son graduates from Naval, not the Naval Academy, but Naval School. And what does he volunteer for? To be on one of those boats. And the dad's like, you got to be kidding me. Really? So he did it. And they tried really hard to make sure it wasn't like any favoritism. So the son went into some of the most dangerous areas in all of Vietnam, the same area he's talking about. In fact, he went to Cambodia a couple of times and things like that. All right. So what the dad ordered, and it wasn't because of his son, but because they were losing so many troops to these ambushes because the Viet Cong were so close to the boats, that he ordered Agent Orange to be sprayed all up and down the shores to get rid of all the foliage so that the Viet Cong couldn't hide so close to the boats. Yeah. Right?
I didn't know.
Didn't know. And then the guy and his son both had effects from it. His son and his grandson, basically, effects from it. And in this, and I'm reading this book right now. It's just bizarre that, you know, I was reading it at 5 o'clock this morning. Even one of those books, as soon as you wake up, you want to read a couple of chapters just because it's so good when you put it to, you know, when you went to bed or whatever. And he said, you know, despite everything, I have to say, even if I knew, I would still do it.
That's the right decision.
And it was because I know I saved lives.
Right.
And I couldn't just think of my son. I had to think of all the young guys over there. Mm-hmm. And people think I'm so cruel and heartless because I say, you know, do you regret it? I don't. He said, that sounds terrible. But if I'm in that position, I have to think of the big picture. Isn't that saying? Talk about a dad, though. Talk about a thing to have on your mind.
Yeah. But a couple things. One is he didn't know. He actually was looking out for his son.
Absolutely. Kind of right. No question.
But for him to say,
it would be really easy for him to say, oh, had I known, I mean, we were told that Agent Orange wasn't going to be a problem.
Right.
Had I known, I never would have done it.
Even if it would have.
No, I did it with the best interest of saving as many American lives as I possibly could.
You know, that LERP thing interests me because I don't, you know, I'm not nearly as schooled as you are in wars. But
you could, okay, let me just say
that
this. Let me say this. The guy that I did interview, okay, that's in my book, 50 Strong.
Yeah.
He was a LERP and he was also a tunnel rat. They needed tunnel rats when they were LERPs. They would go into those little tunnels. Remember we had Austin Wires here talking about how small those things were? You said you were, what, 103-pound wrestler? And how much did you weigh when you got out of high school?
Oh, more, like 138.
Okay, you would have been a perfect guy for the LERPs because they would have taken you as the tunnel rat, which is the most dangerous job in Vietnam. You would have had to.
You're right. That back then, I would have had to.
Yes, you would have been these guys, one of those guys.
But sometimes when I hear about this, you know, everybody knows the Navy SEALs and fighter pilots, but to sign up for that, I mean, that's a little bit of a death wish.
But there's a reason for that too, Jim. They didn't want the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong know that there were units like this. You know, the Navy SEALs, God bless them, but they always say there's two units in the military that have the greatest PR machines. One is the SEALs, one's the Marines. You know, and they do that for recruiting purposes, and God bless them, it works. Because like I said, the Marines right now are the only ones that...
Only one of the five that are making their quota.
Exactly. They wanted the LERPs to be shadowy.
Okay.
Because they worked with the CIA, they worked with some of these other units.
All right.
You know, so it was a very shadowy type of outfit. But here's you know, we're talking about Mike, who took care of enemy soldiers, Viet Cong and North Vietnamese. Here's a guarantee. Any LERPs captured by the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese were never released.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't. They knew there's a really good chance this could be a one-way mission.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, that's the way he talked about that and the danger. And
what the Viet Cong would do, they were so good at this, they would ambush a LERP team. But just enough so somebody was still alive, he could radio back, say, hey, we got ambushed, we down, we need help. And then what they would do is they would ambush the
rescue. The rescue, Boy, I'm glad that's over.
Let me tell you something. What some of these Vietnam guys went through is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
In fact, I called Rocky Blyer the other day. I found his book. The lady and gentleman dropped us off those boxes and boxes of books. And I was going through, and I found Rocky Blyer's book, Fighting Back.
Yes.
And I hadn't read that in 25 years. And I read it again, but with a whole different, after dealing with all these Vietnam vets, it's like, holy crap, Rock. Your story of Vietnam has never really been told enough. What you went through and what they were in and how badly they got mauled and ambushed and everything. You know, that part is almost like, I was in Vietnam and a grenade went off. And then everything's about, how did I get to be a pro football? I called him. I said, Rock. Then he called me right back. I said, well, thanks, John. I really appreciate that. He said, nobody ever really said that to me. But I said, what you did in Vietnam hasn't been a big enough story. That's almost a bigger story than you playing pro football.
Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. I just, you don't even know where to start with that. And that just.
Wait till you see, let me tell you something. Wait till you see my next book.
Okay.
With some of the people, because a lot of people came out of the woodwork after my last one about Vietnam. And I'm not an author. I'm a transcriber.
Yeah, you're a pretty good author. I just want to say on the books, like, it's okay to read a book again.
Yes.
You know, we watch movies two or three times. You got to read a book again.
Couldn't agree more.
You're a little different, and yeah, there's stuff in there that, like a movie, it's like, oh, I don't remember that.
But, absolutely.
You got good books.
You know, there's just a movie I watched on TV the other night. It's like, seen this 6 times, and I don't remember that.
Blazing Saddles?
I think Shawshank Redemption. I was trying to pick out things in case I'm ever in.
Yeah.
Mind with the Mayor, back after this. Welcome back. Mind with the Mayor here, 7:33 in the morning, coming your way on WGBW. How are we doing on the poll as to whether or not you have ever gone on the Fox River through the locks? I say no.
No, you said yes.
I said I never have, but I'm saying more people have gone through them than have not.
And I'm saying people are aware of the locks.
I generously gave you my vote.
But I gave you mine.
Right, so we cancel each other out.
Right, which is, we probably do politically too. But, all right, so we're...
I was reading a thing about this couple, this old farm couple, that would take their old horse and buggy, and they would travel like 20 miles to vote. And they each knew they were voting opposite of each other.
Canceling each other.
But they did it anyway.
That's awesome.
Because they had to vote. I like that.
So right now, it's even. It's an even score.
So, Pete.
Okay, where are my people?
Wait. We got Pete Schwab on. This guy knows everything. And he's had a lot of experiences, but I'm not sure he's had all of them. Pete, the Fox River.
Hey, guys.
Hi. The Fox River locks, right? 17 miles. You go from Green Bay, from the Bay, all the way up to, I think, Menasha. Have you experienced that on a boat and gone through the locks? Do they actually raise or lower the water?
I have, I got to be honest, the closest I've even come to the Fox River is either driving over it or looking at it.
I mean, he doesn't live here, so you can't include him.
It's
got to be Brown County residents.
No.
I said that at the very beginning, Jim.
No, you didn't. Play the tape. It's 17 miles of. Hey, John, there's only one lock here.
Well, I mean, Northeast Wisconsin. Like, Pete basically lives in the UP.
No. But Well,
Pete, how far do you live from the UP?
I'm in the burbs.
So you're Marinette, right?
Marinette, yeah. Oh, just across the river.
You can walk across the river.
Okay, but anyway, that goes for me.
And I have.
Pete, we've got a lot. We've been doing a lot.
Wait, I gotta ask one. Can I ask? Can I ask a question, Pete?
All right,
Pete.
Absolutely. What are we doing here?
Well, no. This has nothing to do. Just says something to do. Marinette Catholic High School.
Yeah.
Is that in Menominee or Marinette?
It's in Marinette, and it's funny. I heard you talking about Rocky Blyer. Marinette Catholic Central, my alma mater, actually beat Appleton Xavier in a very important basketball game.
That was the last basketball game of Rocky's career. They had won the state championship 2 years in a row. They were undefeated, and they had beaten Marinette Catholic Central twice that year. We're totally expecting to win it. Marinette Catholic Central with Mickey Crow, I believe. Or not Mickey Crow. Yep. The dad of Mickey. Can't remember his first name, no. Coach Crow. Slowed it down. They beat him.
Wow.
Pulled the Hoosiers.
Yes, they did. They pulled the Hoosiers. Rocky's last high school basketball game. They had like a 65-game win streak going. Yeah.
John,
I wasn't even born yet.
But so I know it sounds crazy, but
John,
it seems...
scares me a little bit that you asked.
I know.
Let me finish.
Okay,
is Marinette High School in Marinette or Menominee? Like is Green Bay High School in Green Bay or Manitowoc? Johnny,
okay,
are you what?
Here's the reason.
We're like one city here, though. I could kind of see.
The reason I asked that. Okay, when you're leaving Marinette and you're going over the bridge into Menominee,
right?
What would be like straight ahead? Doesn't that say Catholic Central?
Okay, there is a Menominee Catholic Central.
Imagine that.
Well, it just says
Menominee,
Catholic Central.
I can't believe
it doesn't
Menominee
say Menominee Catholic
it,
Central. It just says Catholic Central.
Well, Menominee Catholic Central is in, let me think, Menominee. Marinette Catholic Central is in Marinette. Boy, thanks, John. Any other questions or we'll
no,
move
but
on?
Okay, let me just say this. That would be like saying, here's Green Bay Promontre.
Right.
And then you go to DePere. Oh, here's DePere Promontre. You see what I'm saying? Where it'd be confusing if somebody was,
it's branded as the community.
I know, but it doesn't say Marinette. It just says Catholic Central.
Well, Pete knew it right away.
He lives there. He should know that. Just saying.
Yeah, I think. All right. Well, anyway, Pete,
I think a lot of people have made that mistake.
Very possibly. We used to play. Abbott Pennings was still around when.
Oh, Abbott
right.
Pennings.
I'm in my really late 20s right now. So, yeah.
Really late 20s, right. Huh? Really, really late.
So, Pete,
really
before grown? We get on with your movie trivia,
did you go to Catholic Central?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Darn near graduated, too.
Ah.
No, I didn't.
There's not, it's not even called that anymore,
Five
is
years.
It, Pete?
No, it's St. Thomas Aquinas.
St. Thomas Aquinas. There you go.
Yes.
Everything is changing their name.
Is that Menominee or Marinette then?
That's it. That isn't Marinette.
All right, thank you.
St. Thomas Aquinas, though, he would be very universal, right? Logic, philosophy.
Who was he? Who's St. Thomas? I don't know
St. Thomas Aquinas?
Yeah.
The philosopher.
He was
too.
A philosopher. Yeah. Did you know that he was so fat that.
So fat?
He had a table that they cut around and just pulled the table up to him to like do his writing.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't you have that
in the
mayor's
office?
He didn't
take very good care of himself.
Yeah. He did not take care of himself. But okay. Anyway, yeah, he's one of the smartest guys ever.
He wasn't on his plant-based diet.
No, no. But hey,
he
Pete,
didn't do the keto.
Pete, I don't know.
He didn't count his steps.
No, no. Pete, we've got a business plan we're working on. And it has
no,
to do with.
Don't bring him on.
No, no, Pete. I might cut you in. I might cut you in a little bit. This guy knows a lot of people. Pete.
I'm an open book.
Okay, so here we go. You get a credit card. And when you get your credit card, you check what you can charge on that credit card. So you don't check Lay's potato chips and alcohol. And so when you go to the store, you're limited. It's kind of like a village. It's support of what you can buy or not buy to get you. Because we've spent billions of dollars on health care and vitamins and these diets, and they haven't worked. But because we're trying to do it by ourselves. So I think if we encompass the community and you get this credit card, you go in there and they'll say, look, Mr. Schmidt, I'm sorry. You the cauliflower is okay. But the Lay's potato chips aren't. You've been denied.
It's like if you have zero willpower, zero,
right,
and you have to leave
it
up to
like
some
me.
Poor checkout person.
It would be like me as part of the support system. Would you buy that credit card, Pete, for $25? Where you can
basically I'd be limiting myself in what I could purchase.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hoping that I could, okay. First of all, potato chips are not bad. Just potatoes and salt.
Well, you
can
check whatever you want. You can check what I'm saying, but like chocolate or whatever you can't control, although you're not, it's not like me and John, but you could lose a little bit of weight. But you would check.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah. I think,
wow.
Well, no, I think
did I hear that right?
Wow.
John, what?
Thanks for being on the show.
Did you just tell our guest what? I got to be honest with you, Pete.
Was this an intervention?
I saw you Friday. You could stand to lose a few.
Like,
wow. Hey, what I would do is I would test him. I would take nothing but like Little Debbie snack cakes through the aisle.
Yes.
To test the 18-year-old checkout girl.
And they say,
yes.
You've been denied. No, you've been denied.
I love the little, there's nothing I like more than Little Debbie peanut butter things.
There you go, you guys.
Weren't those delicious?
There you go.
Yeah,
you wonder why we're you're okay.
You know, I was on.
I can
was,
help.
When I was
this
on the radio station,
would be the answer.
They put me on. I was hired to do one of the weight loss things where they would give you this crappy food. It'd be rice and something, and okay. And so I convinced the girl to give me like just all kinds, because the one dessert they had were these little peanut butter bars. It tasted exactly like the Little Debbie peanut butter things. And that's all I ate, and I put on weight, so I got fired.
It's peanut butter. It's
the
protein.
The whole campaign went out the window. But they'd give you these little cartons of something and this little bit of sauce. Or it's like, really? This is what I'm supposed to eat.
Have you tried the
day?
Little Debbie broccoli bites? They're delicious.
Yeah, broccoli bites.
Those won't be allowed. But you check whatever you don't want to buy. But it takes 28 days, really, to change a habit, right? Don't those, like, programs all say it's a 28-day program. So after 28 days, you would go through the store and you'd say, look, I just think I'm going to get some carrots and radishes. And
okay, but then Todd came up with the idea, what if you just brought cash?
No,
what would stop you then?
Here, again, this is a village.
Yeah,
it takes,
smart yourself. Yeah.
No, you can't. You go to the bank and you say to them, look, I got direct deposit and I pay my bills online. No longer can I come in and write a check for cash and you give me cash? That's off limits unless my sponsor signs off on it. Because you need to get a sponsor, like maybe your spouse or a good friend of yours. And so you're at the bank and you say, hey, look, I want $300 of cash. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Shelby, you've been denied. It's like, well, I'm going to call my sponsor. They're like, nope, I'll meet you there. We got to go have a talk. And they kind of talk you off the edge. So no cash. So you got to go cashless like the Packers. And your credit card, you check the box with your sponsor on what you're denied to buy. And I think that is going to be the answer to this overweight problem we have in this country. And it's $25 to get this app. And Johnny and I, and we cut Todd, and we might cut you, and I'm not really feeling it yet. But
well, after you told him that poke, you know, you can afford to lose a few. It's...
I'm trying to help. It's something that
it's interesting. I think they're already overtaxed enough, the checkout.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
But so you go
and they do judge me, I will say.
But you should be more mature about it, not put him through that. Say that was awful what I did to this young checkout person from Preble High School. I'm not gonna do that next time. My bad. So you go to Quick Trip and you go in, you get your gas, you go in there and you can get the hard boiled eggs and the salad but you can't get the quarter pound Angus cheeseburger for $1.69 on Wednesdays. You will be denied.
Why would you go to Quick Trip for a salad?
$1.69?
Yeah.
That's Wednesdays.
Yeah.
It was. Mm. I don't know if it is anymore. Yeah. That's a good deal.
Why? You know what
I wouldn't want to put, I like those people at Quick Trip are like the nicest people.
Nicest people.
They are. So I wouldn't want to put her through that or him through that. So I would go in there with my credit card and say, look, I'm not, you got to take the hamburger back. And we can't put it back. You touched it, but I can't buy it because I was denied on my credit card. Who wants to go through all that? So I'm just going to be disciplined and just get the gas and the deviled eggs and not the deviled eggs, the hard boiled eggs and the salad.
What if they started making fun of you for having that credit card though? What if they saw you and they're like, "Oh, excuse us, folks, Fatty needs to come
just wait, Pete. Keep on going, my Pete. Credit card, Pete. On my credit card, like you have the Allegiant credit card or the it's going to be branded. I am healthy.
Oh my
and you're
going
to look at that. You're going to pull it out and say, "Look, I'm not even going to put her through that." And people are going to be like, "You know what, Mr. Schmidt? You look great, and that's because I have the I am healthy credit card, and I don't buy bad stuff anymore." You guys, I might cut you in on this. We could have the Civic Media boat, and if this really, really works.
So this is how we're getting our boat.
No, if this, Johnny.
This is how we're getting our dinghy.
This could be
the
private.
We're never getting that thing in the water.
My God, it's not going to happen.
You guys laugh all you want. This could be the private jet we've been looking for.
All righty. Anyway, Pete, I want to
apologize. You had me a private jet.
I want to apologize for him saying you could afford to lose a few.
I can, believe me.
I apologize.
Pointing the finger, and four of them are pointing the finger.
One of my World War II guys, one of the last guys, the interview for my last book. He goes, "All right, we finished up." Hey, thanks so much. You used to be on TV, weren't you? I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Holy Kreider, you put on a few since those days, huh?" Honestly. And he starts like, "Dad! Well, look at him!"
All right.
So,
anyway.
Pete, you got some trivia for us, my brother?
Yeah. Are you guys into this?
Pete, by the way, we got to tell everybody, Pete is a actor, professional actor, Hollywood actor.
Producer,
director, writer, a little bit of everything.
He's got the card.
And there's a there's something going on. I think I saw it on Heather Marie, who's we've had on this show. She's a local actress. A call out for extras and part-time people for another movie that's being shot around here. We got to try to get into that.
Johnny and I want to, you have your Screen Actors Guild card, right?
Yes. Me?
No, Pete does. Remember he told us that?
Well, I thought you meant me because of my Actor of the Year award.
No, we don't. But we still want to get in this movie and get credit toward that because that's one of our goals, along with the private jet.
I could have been in a movie one time.
I was in a movie. I got to bring that movie
here. I know
you,
but I could have been in a
movie. I've been in two movies.
I could have been in a Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Oh, man.
Swear, this is no lie. It wasn't a speaking part. But when I was at Arizona State, they sent out a thing. They were filming. It turned out to be a terrible movie. It's called The Gauntlet. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember
movie.
That? And there's a scene right
As a
down.
Kid, I loved it.
Well, okay, but there's that scene going right down. I think it's North Central Avenue in Phoenix, going up to the and he's him and I think it was the first movie he hooked up with Sandra Locke, and they had almost like an armored RV because they had to get the witness to the court or something, and all these people were like shooting at him and not letting him get to court, and they needed a bunch of extra. They actually contacted us at ASU. Oh. It was a theater person. Anybody that wants to come down, you know, we're actually taking a bus over there and be a part of this.
Well, fun.
But I was leaving. It was like right at the end of the semester, and it's like, I got to get back and work in the mines. So it's like, instead of being in Clint Eastwood movie, I was working the pellet plant at the Empire Mine.
Well, that's much more memorable. Yeah,
exactly.
The mines we should remake that where he's got his food card. Yeah. He's going, I'm buying snack cakes.
That's a healthy guy.
I like
produce
it.
Section.
I like it.
All right.
What do you got for us?
Okay, Pete? So here's I got some movie lines, and I thought you guys could sort of square off here, and we see who gets what. Let me know.
Todd,
are you ready?
Todd, you ready?
I'm not.
Todd's ready. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay, here's the first line. I'm gonna start you off easy, I think, given our ages. So, can I borrow your towel for a sec? My car just hit a water buffalo.
Todd, are you playing?
No.
They're already looking to the booth.
I have no idea.
Blazing Saddles.
It's a comedy, and I'll give you the star, Chevy Chase.
Oh!
Christmas Vacation.
National Lampoon Vacation.
No, it's Fletch.
Oh, Fletch, okay.
Can I borrow your towel for a sec? My car is the water buffalo. He's standing there with the woman in the...
Okay. I'll give you a line from Fletch. Hey, what? Doc, yep, you're...
Yeah. I'm going to give... Okay, here's another one, guys.
I can't say that line.
Look Alive. I know it's early.
Moon River!
I should have done that one.
Yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh, that's too easy. Go ahead. I'll let you have that one. Sandlot.
Yeah, nice work. Okay.
This isn't fair.
One for two so far, guys. Here we go.
Uh-oh, we got to set a quick break. Stay there, Pete. And Hollywood. We're going to be right back.
All right, Pete.
Mind of the Man record. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here in a gorgeous Monday morning, downtown Green Bay, downtown Oshkosh. I think we're downtown Oshkosh. Is it downtown Oshkosh?
Yeah,
we are. Okay,
yep. Right on High Street. It's a great studio.
On High Street?
Yeah.
We're on Main Street.
Main Street. Okay.
Yep. I'm at Main Street.
Very nice. We're with Pete Schwabe, what's your title with Civic Media, Pete?
I do news for you guys.
But news director?
No, I'm not that smart.
Because we call Brittany our meteorologist.
Right. Well, we have a tendency of promoting people on this show. So we welcome, ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome back
Director
Pete Schwabe,
Director of all news
for Civic Media, our 20 stations throughout throughout the state of Wisconsin. Pete, welcome. We're glad you're with us. How is your
Great
world
you
as
guys.
The news director?
I'm the news president, I prefer to call myself.
I like that.
All right, I'm sorry.
The news emperor.
Lord
of news.
Yes. Oh, the lord of news. Okay.
Hey, I got to ask you a quick question before we get back to our trivia, Pete. You were actually going to shoot a movie in my hometown one time, right? In the UP?
It was supposed to be this winter.
Wow.
But the strike kind of killed it. And then we were ready to go a couple years ago, and we had this actor, and we didn't have the financing. It's just such a tap dance, you know. And I think I'm not saying my studio days are over, but I haven't sold anything in a while. But the thought of making an independent film really gets your juices rolling because, you know, you have more input, and I would direct it, and you have more say in everything. And it's what they shoot independent films for now, they used to shoot studio films for when it comes
money-wise
to budgets. So yeah.
Hey, you mentioned you had Lauren Holly in your Godfather of Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
What movie? Yeah, she was in some big time movie, wasn't she?
Oh yeah, Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff. She's on Picket Fences. Lauren's great.
Yeah.
She's
so
outstanding.
Pete, you're gonna do. You're gonna shoot this winter, but you're not.
If you're looking for
a couple actors,
yeah,
Pete,
we're here.
We've got to know you the last 3-4 months.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Who would you take?
I would love it.
Who would you take?
I thought you guys were a package deal.
No, we're not.
No, John,
I'll go solo.
He'll throw me under the bus.
I have to invite you guys into the casting room.
Yeah.
All right. We'd have to do it that way.
Okay.
All right.
What kind of roles do you think? Like, what kind of, if you saw a manuscript come through and they say, hey, we need some local actors, like, what type of character would you see either one of us, all three, him, me, and Todd,
okay,
what type of character would you say, oh, I've got a guy in mind for this role?
And this is, okay, this is Pete Schwabe, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen,
who
is just not the news emperor for Civic Media. He also is a producer.
He's a big-time
He's big-time actor.
Yeah, actor. He's been in national movies, the whole thing. So go ahead, Pete.
Well-connected.
Don't feel bad about what you say about
him. You can say anything nice about me you want.
Go ahead.
You guys would both have to know how to cry on cue, because I see you guys doing some serious dramatic work. I know you make people laugh, you know, and you're funny, and you have a good time and everything, but listen, if you want to be in my film... from my manuscript, you have to cry on cue.
Could we write a script where they're brothers and the mayor plays the priest who went to the, and then and John plays the brother who's trying to save him from some sort of, you know.
No, I think, here's what you do. Medieval one, he'd be perfect for St. Thomas.
Wow. Oh, that's.
That wasn't very nice.
You guys,
Pete, we could whine on
you. You're trying to divide me. You're like mom and dad right now.
Pick your favorite. No, we. I don't know about crying on cue. We could.
No, I can't do that.
We can laugh on cue, and we can whine on. We can whine on cue.
We can whine with the best of them.
We can do that.
We can whine all day long.
Just wave it, and
absolutely.
We'll be whining.
You can't even believe
this is a blank canvas. We can do whatever we want.
Best
right?
Best whiners ever.
Who's writing the check? That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
Well, we got a revenue source coming. Yeah. We'll work on that a little bit later.
Here
we'll
talk about it.
Okay.
All right. But we'll cut you in on that. Well, we'll give a portion to the movie. Not really to you, more to the movie.
Okay.
Because then we would invest our money in ourselves.
Yeah. All right, give us some more trivia, Pete.
I'm making some great investments here this morning. Okay. So you guys are one for two, right?
Yeah.
So here's another one.
Well, I'm one.
John's,
go ahead. He's zero. I'm zero.
I'm not going to get
it. Oh, for two, one for
two.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's fair.
Todson.
You can't handle the truth.
Jack Nicholson.
I think that's a tie. I think it's a tie.
What you said? You didn't say the name of the movie.
I was good. If you would have interrupted me,
he was talking
me,
though.
I was talking. I started first, and
but you didn't
I was
say
talking.
A few good men.
But you wouldn't let me finish. He interrupted me. Is
that's
what happened?
You said,
Jeopardy. That wouldn't have happened. I got the buzzer. I've got control of the board. So I said Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men, and he jumped in and interrupted me. So I got that one really.
Todd.
Okay.
I'm gonna split it. Give you both a point.
Oh.
So two for three and one for three. Okay. Here we go. You guys. I'm gonna test your range a little bit here. Here we go. Okay. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Dirty Dancing.
Wow. Jeez.
Okay. Here we go. We'll keep going. Here's Looking at You, Kid.
Casablanca.
Okay. I would have got.
Whoa.
I would have got that if I was swallowing my coffee.
10
no,
minutes.
I was no, not not 10 minutes. 10 seconds.
All right. Here's another one. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Goodfellas.
Nice, John. John is crushing it.
Okay, well, let's do a little theater or something that maybe no, a little politics.
I can't
politics.
Change the rules now. Remember, you're the guy that says no
here,
rule changing.
Can I give Jim an easy one? Let's
okay,
try
yes.
to get Jim
give me what?
Some
I want
to
get back
here.
In the game here. Right. I was just going to go to the bathroom. Thank you for keeping me here.
All right, here you go, Jim. May the Force be with you.
Oh, Star Wars.
You know, I've never seen
thank
that.
You. He's Johnny's bad. Never seen that.
I might be the only person that's never
you
seen
are.
Star Wars.
You are.
I've never seen it either.
Haven't
never.
You?
Never.
Wow, thank you.
I don't believe that. Even
it's
accidentally?
No.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Never.
Like, who
you
hasn't?
Never actually tripped and fell into the theater?
Right.
No, never did. Never have.
Wow.
I know. That's actually, what I think too, Pete.
I respect that. Okay, right. Here's another one. It was Beauty Killed the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast?
It is not Beauty and the Beast. King Kong.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't have gotten that one.
Right.
Never saw that.
Another, I never saw that one either.
A classic from the 70s. We need speed. Speed is what we need.
Top Gun.
No.
Oh, Top Gun would be, I need the need. No, what does he say? I need the,
I
I've got
the need
for
speed.
I feel the need for speed.
This character was an old guy, and he was a boxing trainer.
Oh,
we
Rocky?
Need speed. Yeah, nice.
We need speed.
That was the Penguin.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith. Burgie. I call him Burgie.
Doc, look at this picture of Yankee Stadium. I was fighting Sailor Joe. He knocked half my ear off.
Hey, that's a good picture. You should take better care of that.
Let me tell you something. I can have you.
It's your audition right there. You're in. I don't even know what
telling
the movie
you, Rock.
Is,
okay.
No. No, Mick. You know what? Where were you when I needed you, Mick? Huh? Where were you? You said I was a bum. You said I gave away my luck. Where were you then, Mick? Huh? Now you come around, and now you say you want to be my trainer. Where were you 10 years ago, Mick? You know what? You said I was a bum. Yeah, now you come around.
Okay.
The guy knows the movie by heart.
He does,
and you didn't get that, John.
He's watched it 10 times.
Hey, what do you got in that bowl there?
Those are my turtles, Cuff and Link.
Yeah, they make good soup.
Very impressive.
He is. Awesome. He is. Give him a part. Give him a part.
You know what? I'm not going to get some of that turtle food anymore. You know what? I got too many moths in there. You know those moths? You know what happens? My turtles, they choke on it. Yeah, they choke on it. So I got to smack them.
Give them the parts.
I
got to
smack them. You know what happens to them then? You know what happens to them then when I smack them? What? They get shell-shocked. You get it? They get shell-shocked.
Got it. Yeah. All right, yeah, give
they
the part,
They're
going
to be casting Rocky 10 very soon.
Okay,
there you
John.
Go.
Thank you.
He's in there. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Are we getting time for one more?
Oh, 30 seconds. One more.
All right. You make me want to be a better man.
Oh, it's easy. Go ahead. I'm going to let Jim have that one.
I don't.
Come on. Todd, you want that one?
9 seconds. Johnny, I don't
Nicholson.
Know.
Come on. Helen. Come on. As good as it gets.
Very nice. Wow, you guys did great. All right, I'm
he